Chapter 69. Joe Zavala had spent hours crawling around the hold of the Monarch as it flew from Kazakhstan to wherever they were now. He'd explored the maintenance conduits and found they ran the entire length of the plane. As the aircraft climbed into the cold layers of the upper atmosphere, he'd found a warm spot to hide. As it descended toward the water, he'd resumed his mission, probing for a weakness he could exploit. The truth was, there were several ways he could damage the plane: hydraulic lines, electrical systems, fuel systems. The problem was redundancy. The Monarch had it. All those systems had backups, and backups to the backups. Ruining any one of them would be no more than a minor inconvenience. But there was one system on Tessa's plane that no other aircraft possessed. And while it wasn't critical for flying, it was absolutely necessary for getting off the ground, or more accurately, the water. Working his way along the inspection conduit, Joe had come across the high-pressure lines that fed air from the engines into the cavitation system. Without the cushion of air to separate it from the water, the giant aircraft could never overcome the drag, suction, and surface tension of the sea. Tracking the main high-pressure line to a splitter, Joe began to do his worst, disconnecting fittings, ripping trunk lines from the feeder valves, smashing pressure release valves so that they would vent any air that came through them. By the time he was done, Joe had crawled half the length of the plane and back. He was dirty, grimy, bleeding from several cuts and grinning from ear to ear. A true gremlin. Now all he needed to do was find a way off the plane before it attempted to fly again. Tessa stood at the aft end of the Monarch, watching for any signs of success. One after another, her men surfaced, bleeding, unconscious, or in obvious pain. This was not the type of progress she'd hoped for. She held the radio up to her mouth. "Volk," she called, "what's going on down there?" The response was almost inaudible, but it made perfect sense. "Austin," Volk said. "He's alive." "We blew his ship up," she said. "It has to be someone else." "It's him," Volk said. "He must have been in the water when we attacked. He's operating a submersible. He's taken the counteragent." Tessa grew angry at herself for underestimating Austin yet again. What lengths did she have to go to rid herself of this man? She held the transmit switch down once again. "Woods, where are you? Volk needs help. Numa has the counteragent." "Forget Volk," Woods replied. "I'm going after the canister. Stand by." As the conversation between Tessa, Volk, and Woods played out, Kurt found himself trying to clear his head and wondering exactly where he was. The truth was disturbing. He was upside down in a submersible that was filling with water and sinking. Rudy was beside him. "One of these days, I'm going to wake up to a beautiful blonde, brunette, or redhead," he mused. "Don't I count?" Rudy asked. "Not by a mile." Kurt could see from the damage that there was no hope in restarting the submersible. "Time for us to exit the vehicle." The two of them had prepared for this and were already wearing the power-assisted wetsuits. They pulled dive helmets on and attached small oxygen bottles. Rudy offered the thumbs up. Kurt pulled the release handle. It opened a series of valves, allowing the cockpit to fill rapidly with water and also disconnecting the canopy. When the pressure equalized, Kurt gave the glass a powerful shove. It tilted upward and floated away. Rudy went out first, pulling himself forward and swimming free. Kurt followed, careful to avoid the yellow bag and the lines connecting it to the canister. He pulled out a diving knife and went to cut it free. "Look out!" Rudy shouted. Kurt glanced up. At first, all he saw was the yellow plastic wafting in the current. But as it swept to the side, a blunt gray shape came into view. From this angle, it resembled the square snout of a sperm whale, but made of metal. Kurt dived out of the way, and the bulky vehicle swept in above him. It grabbed the canister with a robotic arm and continued on its way without ever slowing down.